Well, if August 1st was any indication, these final 60 games, there's going to be a lot going down. The Brewers have traded Josh Hader. Let's react to it, let's analyze it, and let's get you ready for a baseball game tonight. Brewers are playing the Pirates. Got to get back to normal as fast as possible. You're Locked On.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. Holy cow, it's only Tuesday. Did anyone else feel like yesterday, Monday, lasted like a week? What a day yesterday. The Brewers have traded Josh Hader. It was a remarkable day yesterday. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brewers all season long. We did an emergency podcast yesterday live on Twitter Spaces and on YouTube. And you can catch another scheduled live show, not so much an emergency pod, but a scheduled live show coming up later today as the trade deadline hits at 5 o'clock Central Time. We will start a live show at 4:30. Regardless if a deal is made before or not at all, 4:30 Central Time, we're just going to take it all the way up to the deadline and maybe 10 minutes past the deadline to see if anything pops, and then I got to get ready for a game. So the Brewers are in a weird mode right now. We're going to talk about the Josh Hader trade. We're going to talk about the return, of course, compare it to another trade that I, you know, first thing that came to mind for me, and look at all the other trades that happened yesterday. And for the record, I'm recording this at 8:20 p.m. Central Time last night. Now, by the time you're listening to this, maybe I will have jumped in with an edited version if another major trade happens before I go to bed. But it's going to be wild these next, you know, 12 hours or so by the time you're listening to this if there's more trades being done. We're going to get through all those other trades and get you ready for the Pirates as well. I'm Dominic Catronio, by the way. See, I'm so frazzled I didn't even say my name. I'm Dominic Catronio. You knew that. I'm the host of Locked On Brewers, the statistician of Valley Sports Wisconsin as well. And what a day. I'm just still kind of sleeping on it and understanding this deal and trying to figure out the motive for it. And let's be honest, we know the motive for it is money. And I talked about this a lot in the emergency pod yesterday. The immediate reaction is that you knew you weren't going to re-sign Josh Hader. You knew that all along. And as I've said for a month or two now, I believe the right time to trade Josh Hader would have been this winter. You never want to deal with the reliever having to answer questions about impending free agency, especially a reliever of Josh Hader's caliber, all of next year. That's where I thought this winter would make the most sense. I did not think they would do it at the deadline. And Josh Hader, I want to once again tip my cap to him. He really knows how to present himself in front of the media. He took it very cordially. He was very professional and understands that it is a business. He said that multiple times in his availability yesterday. He kind of saw the writing on the wall. He knew it was coming. He knew he would be attractive, and maybe this would be the year he finally is traded. He absolutely loves Milwaukee. We know that. And he understands the business, and he's ready to go win with the Padres. And speaking of the Padres, how about a hell of a day that they had yesterday? So they acquire Josh Hader. They extend Joe Musgrove. And Fernando Tatis Jr. hit batting practice on the field yesterday. Whew. That's a heck of a day down there in Southern California. Let's talk about the return now. Josh Hader's gone, and you knew that already. Does it sting? Absolutely, because it's in the middle of the season, and it stings especially more because you're in first place and because you're only three games up on the Cardinals. This division is far from over. I truly, my biggest question is how will the clubhouse react? Now, there's a lot of veterans in that clubhouse. I look to Colton Wong. Christian Yelich is considered a veteran now. I look to the guys like Brad Boxberger in that bullpen, Brent Suter in that bullpen that have been through cycles like this with multiple teams. Well, Boxberger in particular. How will the clubhouse react to this trade? And the most important thing for me about this trade is that they still acquired a big league ready arm in Taylor Rogers and a project big league arm in Dinelson Lamet, and then a couple of prospects. So let's go through the return here. The return. Taylor Rogers, aforementioned, who was recently removed from the closer role from the Padres organization, 28 saves this year for Rodgers. Still a very good pitcher, left-hander, doesn't throw as hard as Hader, walks fewer guys, it's only given up one home run this season. That might have something to do with his ballpark, by the way. Keep that in mind, but still second in the National League in saves. It's not like it's just some schmo off the street. This is still a good big league arm, whether he's pitching the ninth or whether he's pitching the eighth and you put Devin Williams into the ninth. More on Devin in a little bit. It still works out. No, is he Josh Hader? No, of course not. But he's someone with big league closing experience, with plenty of games finished in his career, over 100 games finished in his career, and somebody that's done it in the heat of the moment with the Twins the last couple of years too. I still think that's a good piece of this return. Dinelson Lamet has had a long injury history, which is where I think this was more of a flyer for the Brewers saying, look, he's got another full year of arbitration next year, and then he's a free agent, so a year plus one for Lamet. He's going to be a fastball slider guy. He rarely uses a changeup anyway. He's going to go straight to the big league bullpen. And the corresponding move to get him onto the roster is that Miguel Sanchez will be placed on the 60-day injured list with his UCL discomfort. He had a setback recently, so that opens up a spot on that crowded 40-man roster. We spent a lot of time talking about that in yesterday's episode, how full the 40-man is right now. And if you're going to make trades, if you're going to make moves, you're going to need to make some corresponding. And this is probably one of the only injury-related moves that they can put somebody onto the 60-day because they're preparing to take three guys off of the 60-day IL and Freddy Peralta this week, Justin Topa maybe by the end of the month, and Adrian Hauser by the end of the month. So that's three more spots that need to be added to the 40-man roster, which is currently full. So Sanchez now onto the 60-day IL, effectively ending his season most likely. Finally, the two prospects that were acquired. Esteury Ruiz is being sent to AAA in Nashville. His slash line between AA and AAA this year, he has played in 14 games in the show this year, but in the minors this year, a .333 batting average, a .467 on base, a .567 slugging, and a .1028 OPS. To be fair, the Texas League and the Pacific Coast League are very hitter-friendly environments. Take it with a grain of salt. However, it's great to see bat to ball, which is what jumps out to me for Esteury Ruiz. His strikeout rate has dropped dramatically this season in the minor leagues. He went from, so this year he's only got 65 strikeouts in his 374 plate appearances, whereas in 2021, he still had 73 strikeouts and 353 plate appearances, so it was still trending down because he had 101 strikeouts in 98 games in 2019 and 141 strikeouts in 2018. And that has slowly decreased as he's gotten to the upper levels of the minors, which is encouraging to me. He's also drawing a few more walks, 52 walks this season, a career high for him in a full season of minor league baseball, in just 77 games in the minor leagues. So very encouraging bat-to-ball skills. Outfielder, speedster. And when you see 60 stolen bases, yes, that absolutely jumps off the page. There's a very important note about base-stealing rules in the minor leagues this season, is that full-season leagues, with the pitch clock in effect, pitchers can only pick off twice per plate appearance. If you attempt a third pickoff and you don't get the runner is safe on a balk at second base. That probably has something to do with the elevated stolen base numbers we've seen this year in the minor leagues. Just want to keep that in mind. But he is still one of the fastest players in the minor leagues. He's only been caught 9 times. Also very impressive for him. He's hit a total of 23 doubles, 2 triples, and 13 home runs. Maybe not immediate impact in the big leagues this year, but somebody down the road that is now going to be a very crowded outfield in Nashville between Sal Frelick, Garrett Mitchell, and Joey Weimer being promoted, along with Esteury Ruiz. There's going to be a lot happening in Nashville. If you're down there in Nashville, if you're near Nashville, go check these guys out. This might be a really good outfield in the outfield of the future for the Brewers. And the last piece of this trade was Robert Gasser, a left-handed starting pitcher. This year in High A Fort Wayne, he had a 4-9 record, a 4.18 ERA. But that's not what jumps out to me. What jumps out to me is over 100 strikeouts in 90 innings of work. That's an 11.5 strikeouts per nine and just a 2.8 walks per nine. And the Brewers are going to be aggressive and send him straight to AA as he arrives in the Brewers organization. David Stearns was quoted in saying that Robert Gasser, they feel, is one of the most underrated prospects and should be one of the top prospects in baseball based on their evaluation and their own ranking system. And it leads me to the final point in this first segment. When you look at MLB Pipeline, or when you look at Baseball America, when you look at Fangraphs, and you say, oh, well, the Brewers, they have to get the number one, the number two, and the number three prospect for Josh Hader. That's just one publication thinking that player is number one or number two or number three. Other teams have different needs. I'll take an example. Like the Brewers right now, corner outfield, still getting Estuary Ruiz was kind of a shocker because corner outfield isn't exactly a spot that they need depth in because they have a little too much of it right now in the big league level. But when you dive a little bit deeper, Andrew McCutchen is a one-year deal. He's due to be a free agent. Hunter Renfroe is in his final year of arbitration next year, so he's due to be a free agent heading into 2024. Tyrone Taylor is obviously pre-arbitration eligible still, but then you got Christian Yelich in left field. So they really aren't that deep in the corner outfield spots right now for the Brewers, so it makes sense to stockpile. And the last piece of this, too, maybe there's another move coming. That's a lot of guys in AAA right now that have good prospect status in the Brewers organization. This deal perfectly tiptoes the line of, hey, we want to make sure that we don't tear things down. We want to stay competitive. And number two, as far as, you know, keeping Taylor Rogers and Dinelson Lamet taking a little flyer on him. And number two, saying, hey, the future's not going anywhere. Remember on Friday we talked about the remarkable consistency over this playoff streak for full seasons? Making deals like this and making hard decisions like this, as David Stearns sends his availability yesterday, is how you get to stay consistent. It's how you get to stay near the top of the Central every single year. And that's what they plan to do. Mark Adonacio has said over and over again, he never plans on rebuilding. That's something they do not want to do. And that's a hard thing to explain when Brewers fans say, oh, he's not opening his checkbook. But part of the reason is being smart and understanding that a full teardown is not something that he wants to do. Brewers fans don't want to see it happen. Do you really want to see 4 years of non-competitive Brewers? I don't. I wouldn't. So this is that fine line. I understand the frustration. I understand the sting. Because in the moment right now, you feel like you got worse by getting rid of Josh Hader. That's a fair criticism. Let's say Devin Williams is now the closer. Do you feel a little bit better? Devin Williams arguably has been the best pitcher on the Brewers this year, including Corbin Burns. Think about that for a second. And he's now maybe going to be your closer. Whether it's Williams or Rogers, doesn't matter. Rogers is still going to be used in high leverage. He's going to be used in the seventh or eighth inning a la Brad Boxberger. So now you're going to have Brad Boxberger, ex-All-Star closer, Taylor Rogers, ex-All-Star closer, perhaps ahead of All-Star now closer, Devin Williams. That's a new era, and it's a fun new era to think about in the 2022 season. I don't hate the trade. I would grade it from the Brewers' perspective. I mean, the Brewers' brass would tell you it's an A+. From my perspective, if C is average, I'm giving this C+, B-, because of that thought of, well, they're straddling the line of stay competitive now, but also not tear things down for the future. From the Padres' perspective, I think it's an A-, B+. This is a heck of a deal for them. And as we said with the Trent Grisham and Zach Davies deal years ago, like, oh, Padres won that trade, no doubt. Got to let it play out. And I want to talk about another trade coming up here on the next segment that it kind of reminds me of, that we don't really know how it's going to react yet. Before we do that, if you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're really depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. This is what Built does every single month. You ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough. If you're like me, I am a sucker for cookie dough. It is covered in chocolate, and Built has done it again. Your new favorite is the Cookie Dough Chunk Puffs. They're light and chewy. They have real cookie dough chunks in them, and of course, still covered in 100% real chocolate. And it's healthy for you. Only 160 calories on these cookie dough puffs, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. You can find them on builtbuilt.com, and maybe cookie dough isn't your flavor. They've got it all on there. They have plenty of flavors to choose from that are delicious and nutritious. You don't have to choose of having a healthy snack and something sweet. That's the beauty of Built Bar. Ditch your candy bars and get yourself a Built Bar. No more calories, fat, and sugar. Built Bar is the way to go. B-U-I-L-T, built.com. We got a promo code for you, LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. And you're going to get 15% off your order at built.com using the promo code LOCKED15. The trade that this reminds me of, and there's some context to be had here, but I just feel so similar to the Carlos Gomez-Mike Fiers trade from 2015. The context, of course, that team was not in first place in 2015. Understood. The three prospects you got all were massive pieces for the Brewers, obviously. Josh Hader was in that trade, as was Adrian Hauser, and as was Brett Phillips. In fact, Brett Phillips was the top-rated prospect in that deal. And he just got DFA'd by the Rays yesterday as they acquired Jose Siri. This is why you don't judge trades 2 hours after they happen. You can analyze them, you can talk about them, but you truly don't know who a quote-unquote winner will be until a few more years down the road. Once again, the context is the Brewers are currently in first place. That 2015 team was the first year of Craig Counsell. Doug Melvin was still the general manager. I see the thought of, man, how could they trade Josh Hader? Also coincides with the fact that feeling of Carlos Gomez, you knew you were going to trade him. So what's the difference of trading Josh Hader because he's been involved in trade rumors for so long, but you're finally doing it? It's kind of like the meme. You know that meme where it's like, what are you going to do? Stab me? Oh my God, he stabbed me. It's kind of like that. The Brewers fans have been mentally prepared for this moment. Josh Hader getting traded. And when it finally happened, I think a lot of us were so shell-shocked that it actually did happen. A lot of folks didn't know how to react. And that's fine. Because this team's in first place. 2015, you're mentally ready. All right, Cargo's going to go. Fiers is going to go. You're mentally ready to trade, guys, because that's at the forefront of your mind. Trading an all-star closer's at the back of your mind to get better. You're not thinking about getting better in 2024 and 2022 normally, especially when you're in first place. But that's what the Brewers did. The Brewers got better in 2024 today. And they should remain flatline as what they were before this Josh Hader trade. Maybe a little less. That's a fair criticism. This should keep things together for these final 60 games to keep things interesting for the Brewers. Other moves that happened yesterday, the stove got really hot, and I'm just going over to Twitter real quick to make sure I'm not missing another big one right now. But the just double-checking Jeff Passan Twitter, double-checking John Heyman Twitter. Okay, here's the ones that I've written down right now. The big one that involves the Brewers, Mancini going to the Astros. And that was a three-team trade along with Tampa Bay. You heard us say that Jose Siri was involved in that trade to DFA Brett Phillips. But Trey Mancini now off the board. Somebody that the Brewers have maybe thought about getting, right-handed power first baseman. And how about get excited for Trey Mancini, by the way. He goes from the new cave in left field in Baltimore and that dumb left field wall that they have there to the Crawford boxes in Houston and the short porch in left field in Houston. He's going to be the happiest man on the planet right now. So Mancini goes to Houston. Josh Bell was not moved yesterday. And as I said in the last segment, I feel like the Brewers aren't done. By making this Josh Hader trade the day before the deadline makes me think they're stockpiling to get what they want. They know somebody else has got their eye on somebody and maybe thinking about making a run at a bat. Now they're going for a bat, I would imagine. Do you go for the rental and Josh Bell? Do you go for Ramon Laureano? Do you shock the world and go get Ian Happ? Do you trade Omar Narvaez, whose name was floated yesterday too? There's a lot of directions the Brewers can go today. And again, we're going to have a live show coming up at 4:30 Central Time later on this afternoon in the final 30 minutes before the trade deadline. Whether or not the Brewers have made a move at that time,
hopefully we get some news come across the wire in those 45 minutes that we will be, quote unquote, on the air on the internet. So Mancini off the board. Bell still available. That's one. Frankie Montas goes to the New York Yankees, one of the top starting pitchers remaining on the market, along with Lou Trevino, by the way, a right-handed reliever for the A's. Going to the Yankees, they got four prospects back to the A's in that one. They've acquired 14 players now in the deals for Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, Frankie Montas, Lou Trevino, and Sean Manaea. It's been quite the whirlwind out there in the East Bay for the Oakland A's, but Montas, he is done. He's a year plus one kind of guy, so he's got another year of control next year in the Yankees organization. Jake Diekman goes to the Chicago White Sox for a minor league catcher. Speaking of the Red Sox, Diekman leaving the Red Sox, they're trying to walk the tightrope right now that they traded Christian Vasquez to the Astros. And by the way, the Red Sox played the Astros last night, so it's like that scene from Moneyball where tell him to come on over and change his jersey. Literally, Vasquez had to do that yesterday for the Astros and Red Sox playing. But the Red Sox, they trade two guys, Diekman and Vasquez, and acquire Tommy Pham from the Reds. Does that mean J.D. Martinez is going to be available? Maybe the Brewers make a call on that. Something to think about. Remember when J.D. Martinez went to the Diamondbacks and tore things up for that half season when they made the postseason? I wonder if that could happen for the Brewers. That'd be a lot of fun to think about. A legitimate power right-handed bat. I know he's been ice cold. Looked like he was breaking out on Sunday against the Brewers. Maybe a change of scenery, getting out of the Boston limelight, will help him come into Milwaukee. J.D. Martinez, not off the table yet. Keep that in mind. Luke Weaver goes to Kansas City, a pitcher for the Diamondbacks. In return, Emmanuel Rivera, a third baseman, goes to the D-backs. Scott Efros goes to the Yankees as bullpen help. And there were two major extensions signed yesterday, too. Briefly mentioned the Joe Musgrove extension. He gets 5 years for $100 million, which kind of feels like a hometown discount. And also, Austin Riley gets 10 years, $212 million from the Braves. And what a turn of events for the Braves and their trades and their extensions that they've made. So they've got Ronald Acuna Jr. locked up through 2026 for 8 years and $100 million with 2 years of team options in 27 and 28. Ozzie Albies also signed a very team-friendly deal. He signed through 2025 for 7 years and just $35 million total with two more team options on the back end of that, 26 and 27. And then, of course, Matt Olson. Matt Olson was acquired and then signed an extension quickly, 8 years, $168 million. He signed through 2029. Now they got to figure out what they're going to do with Dansby Swanson. Braves are building a juggernaut right now. Look out for them. Quickly here as we wrap up this second segment, obviously Juan Soto, still available. Josh Bell, still available. J.D. Martinez, still available. Ian Happ, Wilson Contreras. Those are some of the highlighted position players still available. And Ramon Laureano, of course, as I've been screaming from the rooftops. Michael A. Taylor is available. Maybe the Red Sox trade Jackie Bradley Jr. to a team that needs a defensive outfielder. There's a lot still to happen today before this trade deadline. Pitching-wise, Quintana is still available. And quick edit for the podcast, folks. Jose Quintana has been traded. So I'm going to jump in here periodically. Yep, Quintana has been traded. And he will not be starting on Thursday for the Pirates against the Brewers. The bad news is he goes to the Cardinals. Did not see the return of what it was. So he is staying in the division. Just now he's on the Cardinals. The good news is the Brewers only have seven more games head-to-head with the Cardinals. See how he lines up of facing them. But Jose Quintana traded from the Pirates to the Cardinals. Let's see what else today has in store. Andrew Chafin is still available. David Robertson. There's a lot of ways we can go because I don't think anybody was expecting Hader to go in the way that he did. That kind of opens the door. Maybe other teams are going to think about, well, maybe we can send our guy. Man, I'm still trying to find the positive spin. It's okay to be frustrated. Let's make that clear. Brewers trade Josh Hader. Let's get ready for some baseball, okay? Brewers and Pirates coming up midweek series, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Let's preview that next. After all of that, we got to get ready for a series now. And there still could be more trades before first pitch at 6:05 tonight. So the Brewers are opening a series in Pittsburgh, and it seems like they're facing the same three-man rotation that they faced the last time they were in Pittsburgh. This is their last trip to the Steel City. Bryce Wilson, Zach Thompson, Jose Quintana. Quintana as of the time of recording.
And the editor's note again, Quintana has been traded. He's on the Cardinals now. He is not starting Thursday. Carry on, Dom.
The Brewers have seen Quintana a ton over the last few years. I would not be surprised if the Pirates move Quintana, as they've made it clear they're not moving Brian Reynolds. That came across the wire yesterday. But tonight, Corbin Burns will get the ball for the Brewers, and a good reminder of how good he is, the reigning Cy Young winner, going up against Bryce Wilson at 6:05 later tonight. Brewers are 7-2 in the second half, coming off of an off day now. They get ready for a very interesting stretch of baseball here in August. Again, 60 games to go, which is quite the sentence to say. It feels like we just started the season yesterday and we were freezing our butts off down at Wrigley. But this is the interesting part of the schedule for the Brewers. They get these three against the Pirates. They return home for three against the Reds. Two at home against the Rays. And then things get real fast. So the Rays, in the playoffs, currently as things stand, and they're still trying to keep it together with their offense and all their injuries that they're dealing with. But it gets real starting with that Tampa Bay series next Tuesday, a week from today. Two games at home against Tampa Bay. Then you got three games in St. Louis for the first time in a month. Then come home for four with the Dodgers. That's going to be difficult. Three at Wrigley for a weekend. Then three in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. That will be tough too. And then you get a breather as you come back home for the Cubs, the Pirates, then you go to the Diamondbacks, and you go to the Rockies. And you'll be home for that quick doubleheader against the Giants a month from this Friday. And who knows what the Giants are going to do here at the deadline. Does Rodon get traded? They're going to keep Webb, obviously, but do they trade Jock? There's a lot of ways that the Giants can go. Brewers need to continue this good mojo offensively right now. They're one of the best teams in the second half in offense. They're hitting homers. They're getting hits with runners in scoring position. And for the Brewers, I would never expect a sweep. I've always said that. You never expect a sweep. But you would really love one right here just to send a message. The Brewers are 9-4 this season against the Pirates. And in case you're wondering on what the Cardinals are doing this week, Brewers are currently three games up. They were also idle in yesterday's action. This week, the Cardinals, they're at home. They get the Cubs. There's a little breather there for them. But then they get the Yankees. Then they got to go to Colorado. Then they come back home for the Brewers coming to town. Then they face Colorado again. So the Yankees are going to be their hardest opponent over the next 2.5 weeks along with the Brewers. So they're in a friendly part of their schedule while the Brewers are getting ready to enter a difficult part of their schedule. Do not panic here in August. If things get a little tight, if things get interesting, there's a lot of season to go. Even though it's only 60 games, it's real now. There's some urgency. But, man, I don't know how to explain how you're supposed to feel. Do you look to the future and say, you know what, this is a good move. They can continue to win 90 games under this current roster. Or do you say, dang it, how can they not keep Josh Hader for at least another half of a season? All fair criticisms. Let's let it play out. See what the Brewers can do. And the Brewers will be looking to add a bat today. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't do anything, but I still feel like the writing's on the wall that they want to make another move, which is why they traded Josh Hader yesterday. I'm rambling now. I've been on this microphone for a long time today. If you want to hear some fan reaction to the Josh Hader deal from yesterday, go ahead and click that long emergency pod from yesterday. It's also available on our YouTube page. Wow, what a day. The Brewers traded Josh Hader, and I think I've said that like 30 times today, but it's shocking. It really is. The Brewers are still three games up. The sun came up today, and it's a beautiful day for the Cardinals to lose and the Brewers to win. So the Brewers are in Pittsburgh, and we'll see you on Bally Sports Wisconsin later tonight. Coverage begins at 5:30, first pitch at 6:05. Jeff Levering and Bill Schroeder will be on the call. I'll be in the studio with Steven Watson and Vinny Rattino. And don't forget, we've got our live show at 4:30 coming up later this afternoon. Thank you for listening. My name is Dominic Catronio. Until next time, after a very, very exciting trade deadline to come today, keep on swinging.
are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.